Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show that originally aired in 2014.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill, author, natural health expert, producer. What's up, T.C.?
I'm that guy, and we have got us a show.
All right.
A show.
I'm excited about this show.
Yeah, we got a show.
Good. We've also got a hottie patati Will Schmidt sitting to my left. What's up, Will?
Hi, Kenna.
Hey, Will, we have a show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Today. I was just here for the food.
Oh, it's show.
Okay.
It's show day.
Fine.
That's why I have on makeup.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's a radio.
So I sound better.
Yeah.
It's a new thing we're going to try out.
Mm-hmm. You look good. You feel good.
We've been becoming popular, so right. We're like, hey, what else can we try? And Ken was like, I could wear makeup.
Yeah.
I was like, that's all great. Right.
Instead of just sitting here in my pajamas. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know?
With the footy socks.
Can be a good look.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com.
Audible.com.
Woohoo! Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And every time we say Audible.com, we get $100.
Audible.com.
Audible.com. Audible.com. Audible.com. Audible.com. So today we're going to be talking about plateaus, and I know for me this is a subject that I really want to hear about because I've been there.
Yeah. And this is good, and you know what? We've never talked about any weight loss topics at all, really, on the show. Like, we haven't had weight loss as a topic because of our books and courses where so many people can get information. We kind of just skipped over it, but maybe we need to end up doing a just flat out weight loss show, but this is going to be about weight loss and fat loss plateaus. So we'll get into a lot of specific stuff for that.
Yeah. Cool.
And if you haven't already, followed us on Facebook, then you are missing out. Go to Facebook right now and go to Kick It in the Nuts. And follow us, and we're going to post topics there that we'll be doing on future shows, and you guys can post any questions that you want us to cover in that show, and you can bug Tony about it, and finally he'll do a show over it.
Right. Just keep nagging. Uh-huh. And thank you so much to everybody who has been going to iTunes and clicking on subscribe.
I wrote a ton of reviews.
Yeah. Right.
A bunch of different fake names.
Under different names. And I signed up all these
All your
accounts.
Fake Facebook accounts exactly. You usually just use to like...
Now everybody's going to try and do that. Like, I'm going to do four.
Right.
So just know you have to have a real iTunes account to do that. And they have to have a... You know, you have to be have like a credit card attached. You can't make up a fake one, so just do one.
You really have to have a card attached?
Really? Okay. Well, I've been stealing
an iTunes
cards.
Account.
Oh, you don't have to pay.
No, our podcast is free, but when you have an iTunes account, if you want to leave a review, you have to have an account.
Oh. We need to change that. We need to have a podcast that costs money.
I know. Let's do that. Yeah. Everybody just start sending a dollar.
Uh-huh.
No, but really, thank you to everybody who has been leaving reviews and rating the podcast. Because that helps us move up the charts, and we've been up with all the big names lately, like with Rob Wolf and Jillian Michaels and
if only
fancy
I know
like
it
that.
Just took a couple of reviews. I've been trying to sleep my way to the top.
Yeah,
right.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. You can just say, hey, can you write something nice rather than
instead of all that work.
But I think we went as high as number 9. So thank you to everybody who's been helping us do that. And if you hear stuff that you like and it's helpful, be sure to go to iTunes and rate the show and leave us a review, and that helps us spread the word a bunch.
Awesome.
Cool.
You have something?
No, I have nothing.
Oh, okay. I'll say some words, I guess. So, since we haven't talked a lot about weight loss, in case there's people who have not read our books or taken any of the courses or heard a lot of our other shows, the first thing I want to do before we get into plateaus is let's talk about a lot of the reasons or the underlying causes that a person could either gain weight or have a hard time losing weight, because a lot of the actual underlying causes. A lot of people have no idea that that would cause someone to gain weight or restrict someone's ability to lose weight. So let's have Fancy Schmancy Will Schmidt just start talking about some underlying causes. Maybe you can just describe them briefly, and then I'll add some in too.
Yeah. So you say all this stuff in your Kick It in the Nut or Kick Your Fat in the Nuts book and on the courses. So if you want further explanation or elaboration, you can check those out. But I think we both agree, like, the first main cause of fat gain is weak digestion. Like, when you're not able to break foods down well, they end up just occurring to your body as a toxin, even if they're like healthy organic, like vegetables or free range eggs, right, or whatever. If your body can't break it down, it occurs to your body as a toxic invader that it then has to clear out of the bloodstream, whether it like tries to like poop it out or shove it into fat cells, just keep the blood clean of those toxins. And then when you can't break like proteins and fats down well, then you're usually have to resort to eating carbohydrates because they're easier to digest and your body needs them for energy. But that's bad because when you eat carbs, you elevate your insulin levels and you pull your body out of fat burning mode and into carbohydrate burning mode. So you don't burn any fat. Even if you're doing cardio or weight training, you're just burning sugar. You're on this sugar roller coaster. And those sugars that don't happen to get used will end up getting stored as fat. Another one would be nutrient deficiencies. Like, if you're not eating nutrient-rich foods, your body will keep craving more food until it gets what it wants. It'll just keep eating Skittles or whatever that thinks it's rewarding for it, but is not. So that can lead to like cravings and binge eating and kind of overeating because of nutrient deprivation. Another one would be consumption of toxins in general, like processed foods with weird artificial sweeteners or dyes or things like that, like Diet Coke or whatever, that, again, the body takes toxins out of the bloodstream and will shove them into fat cells to keep your blood clean.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that because they'll think, well, I ate something and I didn't die.
Yeah.
So it's not toxic. But the reality is that your body is built to deal with some toxins, and but the manner that it deals with that in some cases is it'll shove, there are a lot of toxins that the body can shove in fat cells. Not everything toxic to the body can be shoved in fat cells, but a lot of stuff can. And if you're eating foods that you think are fine because they're not killing you, that doesn't mean that they're not causing you to gain weight.
Yeah.
One that was like a surprise for me when I first started with you was Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that one to
it
me.
It doesn't have any calories.
Yeah,
it's zero.
Zero. Yeah. Everybody drinks Diet Coke and, you know, order a Big Mac, fries, and a Diet Coke.
Right. Right.
You know, and I should have just been ordering the Coke all along. Darn it.
Right.
It's better for you than actually a Diet Coke.
Possibly, right. Because of all those artificial sweeteners and stuff.
And then I'd say the other two major ones are eating in a way that imbalances your body chemistry. So those would be foods that could be good for you, but because of your current chemistry or not, like if you're too catabolic and you think you're supposed to eat a lot of like fatty acids, like omegas, that can push you further into your metabolic imbalance, which can cause blood sugar handling issues and all sorts of things. So not eating appropriately for your body chemistry. And then one other thing with the toxins, when you're, when you eat even like or drink water with plastic, like you'll get these things called phthalates, which can confuse your body into not being able to burn fat as effectively because of the way it affects these certain cells called peroxisomes. So there's a lot of things in the modern world that can kind of mess with you on that level, like even drinking bottled water in plastic that's like leaching into the water. And even that can kind of get in the way and stall. And then another one I'd say would be like if you're creating hormone imbalances through the wrong like levels of amino acids, or you're not training in an effective way where you're like breaking down tissue and not rebuilding it, and it's kind of messing up your overall metabolism, or even timing foods wrong and timing exercise wrong can kind of mess with you and not give you the ideal gains that you, or ideal progress you'd like.
Right. Or even timing when you're eating or what you're eating in accordance with your workout can cause real effects as well.
Yeah.
And the water thing that you mentioned with the plastic, like, and even like somebody like me who's electrolyte deficient, drinking too much water, which you think is the best thing to do on a diet, can actually like hurt me because I flush everything out and then I go crazy and binge.
Right.
Right. So, you know, there's a lot of things, and let me go over a few more, and Will, you can chime in on any of these as well if you'd like to. But other things are like, you know, metabolic derangement where you know, people just can't deal with carbs the way that they used to or that others can, because of many reasons that can create that. But if that's an issue for you, then that's a problem. overconsumption or just binging due to cravings is a big one. Counting calories can be a huge problem because someone will eat according to the caloric value of a food and they believe that's the best thing to do. The problem is they're not looking at what they're actually eating. And if that food is either a toxin to the body or the way that your body processes it still creates a toxic environment, or it's just a burden to the body, then it's still a problem, no matter how many calories are in that. Another issue can be not eating enough food. Some people will try and count calories and go too low. I mean, everybody tells them just burn more calories than you eat, and it's false. But so many people say that we believe it's true, so we try it, and we reduce the calories even more. And the body freaks out and says, well, I'm just going to hold on to everything I got if you're not going to bring food in. The body views that as a famine, and we talk about that on a lot of other shows. So that can be a big issue. Not getting in enough dietary fats. Do you want to talk about that a little, Will?
Yeah, if you're not eating fat, then your body is going to resort more into the glycogenic metabolic pathway where it's more carb reliant. So, and you can get into a tissue breakdown state too, because all your cells require fats to make membranes, as well as it'd be great if it had fat to run off of on energy. But if you're not eating fats because you think it'll make you fat, then your body's going to have to pick up the energy deficit somewhere, and people will usually turn towards carbs, which then pulls you out of the fat burning zone. And it can create some other different hormone imbalances too if you're not getting enough fats. So that can kind of mess with your lean muscle mass and your energy. And
right. And like Will said, your body needs fats. I mean, every cell needs fats. And your body, there's functions in the body that require fats. So if you're not bringing fats in, your body will say, okay, well, I'm not going to let go of this stuff I have stored because I'm going to need it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times increasing the amount of fats that you're consuming can help push past any type of plateau that you feel like you're dealing with. Another issue is if you can't emulsify the fats that you're eating, which means that you need proper bile flow to do that. And a lot of people do not have their bile flowing correctly for many reasons. But if you can't emulsify those fats, they become toxic to the body and the body has to deal with it problematically. So that can be a really big one. Will already talked about not getting enough nutrients. So, you know, you may be eating enough food, but if the food is not nutrient rich, your body is still going to be saying, hey, I got to have more.
Yeah.
You know, you're eating stuff, but it's not getting the nutrients it needs.
Yeah, and to kind of maybe flesh out one of those key nutrients that's really often missing is when the body's not getting enough nitrogen, like if you don't have good stomach acid and you're not breaking down protein effectively, then people will think, oh, there's something wrong with my thyroid. It's like underactive or something. Right. But in reality, if you don't have enough nitrogen in your bloodstream and your cells, then your endocrine system's just going to slow down. And it's not going to run right. So people will often, I see it all the time, like clients will come in and they'll be on these thyroid meds to try to like boost their thyroid function, which is basically trying to override the intelligence of the body because it's slowing down your metabolism because you don't have the resources
to run at high level.
Right. But so you just bypass that regulation and just force the pedal to the floor, you know, and then your body's going to like freak out and collapse because it's like running your car in the fast lane when you're on E, you know, it's going to collapse. So it's not necessarily smart to just push your thyroid to be faster. You should look at like, what are the base metabolic reasons why it would be slowing down on purpose?
Right. And the good point is that thyroid issues is another possibility that could restrict somebody's ability to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that has more to do with different pHs in your body restricting your ability to absorb iodine correctly, which is required for a thyroid to function. And other issues can cause problems with the thyroid too. We're not going to get into that, but we're just kind of showing that there are a lot of ways that can restrict weight loss. If you're constipated, you're not going to lose weight. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We poop for a reason. It's not just because all the cool kids poop. No, but we poop to get rid of waste. So if you're not pooping every day and your doctor's like, oh, that's okay. Some people just poop less than others. Right. It's all right if you're plugged up for a week and a half. That's fine.
Right.
It's not that fine. And so if you have constipation issues, they need to be corrected. Corrected is today's word.
Yeah. And I think one of the main things, at least, I mean, maybe it's different in different parts of the country, I imagine is, but in LA, I see a lot of like skinny fat people, like skinny fat women who are not as toned as they want to be. They're not at all heavy. They have like maybe 10 pounds to lose, but they can't lose it.
Right.
Cause their blood pressure is so low, like 90 over 48 I saw yesterday. Like,
it's like, that's a winner-winner chicken like dinner.
Like you're missing a quarter of the blood you should have in your body. And so like your body's not going to be able to digest stuff. Well, we have a whole podcast on low blood pressure and depression, anxiety, and cravings that are all tied together. We have one on the thyroid too, right?
No, we haven't done thyroid yet. We should.
But yeah, so those people with low blood pressure are almost always constipated. So their body's not eliminating waste. It doesn't have the resources it needs to break down the food to build lean muscles. So your metabolism's going to stay off. Your thyroid, it's going to be underactive on purpose. So you want to correct all those different things to.
Right. So constipation is a really big one, but at the same time, so is diarrhea.
Yeah.
If all of your nutrients are screaming through your body so quickly that you can't absorb them, then the body's not really getting the nutrients that it needs. It's going to be more stingy with the fat that you have stored. It's not going to want to let go of that because it's, you know, fat storage is money in the bank to the body. You know, we don't want it there.
I'm rich.
Yeah. But a lot of people are wealthy. And, but to the body, it's just this security of when resources, if we come across a famine or something, I'm backed up. I'm golden. So the people that become more lean, they're changing things so that their body is receiving more of what it really needs so then it can let go of all this money in the bank, so to speak. So diarrhea, even though you're not plugged up, it can still cause a lot of weight gain issues. If a person doesn't have the ability to sweat, a lot of times their pores will get clogged up with toxins that the body was trying to push out through the skin, because it's overwhelmed, and then the pores get plugged up. And that's one more burden that the body has. It's more toxins that it was able to remove before, and now it can't, and that can restrict a person's ability to lose weight. Stress.
Oh, I was going to start filling space.
Yeah, that's good. I like the song. If you could dance, that would probably help on radio, too.
I'm too sore already.
But, you know, a lot of those things that we just covered are things that cause stress to the body, but guess what else causes stress to the body?
Traffic.
Stress.
Yeah.
Tony.
Yes, I
Tony
do.
Tony causes stress.
Uh-huh. So if you're stressed because of traffic or because of something that is not really that important to your survival, your body still views it as a survival type of stress, and it creates hormones, and all this imbalance goes on. And if your body is dealing with that burden, it can't deal with the other burdens of toxicity or hormonal correct function. So we just listed like 147 different things.
Oh, you forgot babies.
No.
If you're pregnant, you're not going to lose weight.
Right. You're going to gain this whole person in you. It's really a ripoff. But eventually they mow your lawn, so it all works out.
Yeah, if you get a boy.
I've seen girls mow the lawn.
My mom wouldn't let me. She was scared I'd cut off my foot or something. Yeah. I played that card up.
Yeah, you did. What else can I hurt my foot on, Mom? But so we just listed all these things. So the point of that was, I have forgotten what the point of that was.
There's a lot of reasons why we might be holding on to weight and you might not have even thought about them.
Yeah.
Good. So here's what happens is what someone will do when they begin, hey, I got to lose weight. I got to do something about that. They'll research and they'll find something that is at least one of the problems that is causing weight gain for them. But I mean, I don't think I've ever seen somebody who had one cause of weight gain. You know, they usually have like 7 or 15 or 20 or one major issue that's causing all these other issues that's leading to weight gain. So
TV, we forgot that.
Yeah, TV.
TVs lead to weight gain.
Right. Oops. So we could go on and on with the reasons that cause weight gain, but someone will find something. Like I'm going to cut out sugar. Sugar is a burden that does a lot of things that creates weight gain. So they cut out sugar and they start eating more real food and they lose monster weight. It's awesome. They're like, they do this dance. It's really fun.
What?
There's a dance they do. It's a secret dance. When they lose a bunch of weight quickly, there's a dance.
Happy dance?
I don't know. Check YouTube. I don't know. But then it just kind of stops.
Oh.
So then they're like, okay, I've hit what I've heard about as a weight loss plateau. I'm doing finger quotes right now. But if the issue that they changed was only causing 30, 40% of their weight gain, then they still have all of these other issues that their body is dealing with that's creating weight gain or restricting weight loss, and they haven't dealt with those at all. So that's when the kind of joyous celebration of monster weight gain kind of stops, and they tell themselves, I'm doing everything right, and I haven't lost weight for 2 months. Mm. So it's a plateau, and I'm stuck here, and they start to feel the frustration. And then a lot of people
eat. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the answer, is that, well, I mean, look at all the work I'm doing to lose weight, and it hasn't worked for 2 months. Why don't I have a bowl of Lucky Charms or something?
Screw it.
Screw it.
That, you know, that brought up, I think someone else asked a question later about this, but that's another thing. Like, a lot of times people start trying to exercise, they get hurt or injuries like will come, and then they can't be active, and that can really get in the way too, and be depressing, which can also lead to eating.
Right, which it can. So the big thing is that when you've hit a plateau, there's always
okay.
a reason. Always.
Uh-huh.
Except in my case.
Right, except in his case. That's totally different. So everyone should send money to feel sorry for Kenna. We'll get into that in a little bit for sure. But for everybody else, there's always... There's always a reason. So it just becomes...
But your body doesn't just say, hey, I need to be here for a while. This is happening too fast. Whoa, hold your britches. Let's get comfortable here, and then maybe I can let go of some more.
Slow down. So let's talk about that some too, because that's, you know, a view that a lot of people have. And I think that the body can get defensive a lot of times.
Oh, I know it can.
Yeah, but it's usually not in that way that people view it. It's more about other scientific physiology that's going on in the body, and you know, there's reasons that the success is allowed up to this point when a person takes certain measures, but when it gets to another point, another level, it slows down, and the first of all, the slowdown is natural because of the way that your body views stored fat and the need for fats. So once the body is reduced a specific burden that may be causing a problem, or it's getting nutrients now that it wasn't getting before, it can get a little less defensive and say, okay, I can let go of some of this. But that doesn't mean that everything's going well enough to let go of it all to allow a person to get to a six-pack situation. Because at a six-pack situation where a person is lean enough to where there's six-pack type stuff going on, there's a lot of things going right that the body is allowing that to happen. It's operating at a level that it feels comfortable enough to really not need those fats to be stored. So a lot of people will have that fast success, and when it slows down, sure, the body's saying, let's slow down a little bit, but it's saying that because not enough things are in your favor yet for the body to feel comfortable at a state where it can be that lean and not have this backup.
So, you know, yes, it's physical and stuff, but it could be mental as well. Somebody gets scared of getting too skinny and too hot or whatever. Or for whatever reason, you sabotage yourself, you start to sabotage yourself, or you hit a plateau, and then you're like we said, screw it. You know, this is too hard. I've been working my butt off, not seeing any results. You know, because for myself and other people, I know that there's been times mental sabotage comes into it.
Yeah, totally.
When you get into certain areas.
And why
couldn't
it? You know, I think, and not only mental, but life comes in too. Because, you know, we look at how stress is one of these factors that we talk about that can not only cause weight gain, and it's this burden on the body and all that kind of stuff. So if something happens in life that adds this new level of stress, let's say someone's getting married or something, or moving their husband into the house, you know, all this, something that's a huge stress like that, all of that stress not only takes a burden on the body, but it requires resources for the body to deal with that stress. So now, not only physiologically could that person be putting their body in a state that's going to slow down weight loss, but now mentally, because of the stress of it all, and the body feeling like, oh, I need more resources just to deal with this, which can create cravings. But then the mental aspect of it, which a person, if in their life, if they just eat junk, they feel better, then that's easier to go to it at that time. So not only, you know, emotional stuff can cause problems, but so can stress and, you know, mental issues. But here's the one thing that we want to differentiate in this show and to help people understand that there's a lot of things in life like that that can slow down the weight loss. And sometimes that's just life. You know, it's okay to not continue with the same rate of success all the time when life gets in the way. It doesn't mean you're done and you have to quit. You just kind of pick up where you were and move forward again. But what we want to look at in this show is, what's a real plateau and when is it something else? And the something else can be a few different things. So let's talk about a couple of those, because one of those could be that you're using the wrong thing to monitor. Do you want to talk a little bit about the scale and the difference between looking at a scale and a measurement?
Yeah, for sure. So when you first start training, a lot of like people will be like, a lot of my clients will be like, oh, I feel better. I'm getting stronger. I'm way like 2 pounds more, but my jeans are looser, you know, because their muscles are filling out, and muscles hold a lot of water weight along with glycogen for exercise, for energy production. So you can be gaining weight in the right places, like muscle tone, and losing fat at the same time. And so a better thing that I like to use is calipers, where you can like do skin fold measurements. Mm-hmm. You can actually see decreases in, you know, the body, the subcutaneous fat layer, if that's what you want to watch, or just how your clothes fit or in photos and things like that, rather than the scale, because like water weight can shift a lot, muscle weighs more than fat, and all that kind of, that kind of stuff can make people
tape measure. You can measure your waist.
Right, yeah. At your belly button is a great place to do it. Sure. It's right at your belly button and do it first thing in the morning and then mark it on the calendar. But I think it's important for us to talk about things that like this that we view very simplistic, and we've just always done this, but a lot of people don't know this, and I think it's important for them to understand that the scale is a huge fat liar. It lies dramatically.
And I have friends that weigh every single day, and I'm like, why would you do that to yourself?
Including those ones that do like the fancy body fat calculations. Don't like those at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Those are not cool. And the problem is that people view that I weigh 197 pounds today. This is what I ate. Tomorrow, now I weigh 198.5. So that extra pound and a half is a direct result of what I ate yesterday. And that's not at all how the body works at all. And I mean, the way that your body's regulating all this hormones and all this stuff and leptin and insulin and all these things that are going on, they don't have a 24-hour clock on them. It regulates through days and weeks and more. So if you're going, no matter what measurement fact, you know, type you're going to use, it should not be a daily basis. You should not be checking in daily. It should be at the most once a week. You know, once every 3 or 4 weeks is even better. But it's important for people to understand this, because I've had clients that were like, oh, I just thought that my jeans were stretching. Like, no, they're jeans. They're not stretching. They're looser because you're losing fat. And I've even had a client that, like, she was a little older, you know, 70 or something, and was starting to work out. She'd never done that. And so she came and had her first session, and I made it, you know, easy enough not to kill her. But she came back a few days later, and she's like, yeah, the following day I went to the emergency room because my whole body hurt and I thought I was dying. And she did not even know that working out, you know, anything could make a person sore.
And they're like, you're just sore.
Yeah, right. That'll be $10,000 for your emergency room visit. Wow. So it's important that sometimes that we hit the simple things and make sure people understand them. So for one plateau, that could be one type of plateau, is somebody's looking at the scale and they're living a lie because they may be losing fat, but they're gaining muscle, which weighs more. And so the scale doesn't move, or it even goes up, or they're looking at it daily. So when the body is on an upswing where that weight gain is going up, They check it daily. They see they gained weight. What I did yesterday must have been wrong, so I'm going to change everything.
Right.
I'm going to read a totally different diet book, and I'm going to follow that now.
Yeah, especially around, like, women's cycles. My client just the other day, she's like, what happened? I gained 3 pounds since I saw you. She's like, oh, never mind.
Okay. Yeah, I just started.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of things that go on, so don't view the scale in that way and don't view it daily.
Like, I think it's cool, like, when you very first start, take a measurement. Take all your measurements.
Yeah.
And have it there so, like, at the end or halfway or something, when you know you've done pant sizes and stuff, so you know you've lost weight, then look. You know, because I know that the suspense kills me, too, sometimes, and I just have to look.
Right.
But I've gotten better about when I look. I only look when I feel like I'm thinner.
You know what's different with you, too, is that you have a better understanding of it now to where you used to.
I didn't believe you.
If you did look at the scale, you would flip out and then you would go eat horrible things for 3 weeks straight. But now you have a better mental capacity to deal with that kind of stuff and it doesn't affect you. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. So another thing, beyond that is that if you're going to look at, am I having a plateau? I think it's real important that you find a way to be very honest with yourself. And I think that this is crucial because of what you can do to yourself if you're not. And what I mean is, initially, when you first start, you have not tried to, you know, you've been eating whatever the hell you want to eat and you've gained plenty of weight and now it's time I want to do something about it. So you start changing what you're eating. Maybe you start eating more real food. And that weight loss is drastic. Once you get to a weight that's more comfortable and you're more happy with, you may not be at your goal yet, but you may not be as strict as you were before. You may feel that, oh, I can get away with a few things, or you may be viewing what other people are doing as if that is going to work for you. And we know that that's not true because everybody's different for a lot of reasons that we talk about in our books and courses. But if you're being a little more laxed, or you're viewing this, these last 2 months are my results. I checked my weight in March. It was this. 2 months later, oh man, it's still this. So I'm at a weight loss plateau. You don't factor in the fact that in that 2 month period, you went home to see the family, where in order to get anything that's not battered and fried, you have to ship it in through the mail, or you went on a 7-day cruise, or, you know, all these things, vacation type things.
Where you gained weight and then you lost it again, and right, now you're back to where you were.
So what's going on is it's not an actual plateau. It's just a situation where you're living life a little bit, which there's nothing wrong with that. But that living life, for a lot of people, can cause the weight gain very quickly. And then you go right back on track and the weight comes back down. So it's not that you aren't moving. It's that you're moving up and down. You're still doing enough right things to lose the weight, but enough wrong things to not continue that momentum.
And the best thing for that is, like, food journaling. Like, I mean, you've been beating that into my head for 7 years now. Write down everything that goes in your mouth so you can look back and go, okay, I forgot about those 12 cookies.
Right. And it's because it's very easy to forget about them and to also eat a Hershey's Kiss on somebody's desk as you walk by.
Oh, you noticed that?
Yeah. and forget about that. I mean, you can forget about that real quickly. So food journaling can really give you a visual of what is actually going on.
It's so little, though.
Right. It is. It's so tiny. One thing that's important, let's get into that in a second. Let's get into cheat days and stuff like that a little bit later, because we want to at least answer one question in this show. So let's go into our first couple questions.
Okay. Janie from Danville, California. How much does age have to do with it?
Everything. Next question. No, it's not necessarily your age that has to do with it, but, you know, we'll talk about all those things that we talked about at the front and how some of those can not work as well as we age.
Yeah, so, like, people's digestion can tend to get weaker as you get older. And this isn't necessarily a genetic thing that has to happen. It's just most people's like dietary practices are not perfect. And so the things that we don't do right gradually add up and can like weaken your digestion. And also like over time, if you're not doing the right thing for a longer and longer time, you get more and more imbalanced. So you don't necessarily have to be fat when you're old, obviously. There's right. a lot of slender, skinny, old people. But a lot of times people will drift further into their imbalances and their digestion will get weaker over time because they're not doing the right things for a longer and a longer amount of time.
Another thing is liver function is huge yeah. when it comes to weight loss, because how much toxicity does your body have the ability to remove? And that's a lot on the liver and proper bile flow, because the bile is where the liver puts the garbage to be removed out of the body. And a lot of people don't have their bile flowing correctly, and you can learn about that in our free 4-week digestion course on kickitinthenuts.com. But as we age, not only can toxicity build up and become more of a burden, but if digestion is beginning to become weaker, even the good foods we're eating can be another burden. Plus, so many people now, as they age, are just starting to collect medications that they're on. And they're just like, look at my collection. I got 6 that do this and 3 that do this. And when you're on multiple medications, in order for those medications to work, they have to overwhelm the liver so that they can stay in the body and do the job they're supposed to do. So liver function can deteriorate quickly in that case.
Also, like 40, 50 years of heavy drinking.
Sure.
You know.
That adds
yeah.
up.
Oof.
Right. So not only does that toxicity build up, but your body's ability to remove toxins diminishes. And you can see how that little graph would go the wrong way.
So age has something to do with it, if you've, depending on your lifestyle, how you've been living.
It's age has stuff to do with it because of all the other things that come along with age, but not necessarily, I'm not this old, I should gain 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Marie from Canton, Ohio. How is it possible to work out almost every day for 2.5 months, eat incredibly healthy with no junk at all, and not have changes happen? Shannon from Champaign, Illinois. At Marie, I have the same thing happening.
So this is so, so, so common that I'll hear this from people. And the reasons could be any of the 147 reasons that we listed before.
Yeah. Let's list them all again.
Yeah, so we'll go over them all one more time. And I'll say, I'll do that always, 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 always,
that
always.
That was the best part.
Yeah, that was the best part. But a couple of the most common things going on are... Marie says that eating incredibly healthy. Now, the definition of incredibly healthy varies greatly from person to person.
Yeah, exactly. It's everybody's
perspective. Yeah, people tell me I'm eating only healthy things, and I'll say, okay, let's food journal, let's look at it.
Weight Watcher meals.
I see like Cheerios. Weight Watcher meals, rice cakes.
Oatmeal.
Orange juice.
The oatmeal is perfect, yeah. Orange juice, it's not just for breakfast anymore. And so they're eating all of these nutrient-depleted foods with no nutrition in them, and mainly just carbohydrates and sugars and processed chemicals and junk. So that's one issue that's very common to see, and I'm not saying that that's the issue with Marie. I don't have a clue what it is with Marie, but that is a main issue, is you may be viewing food that's healthy that is not healthy. I mean, a lot of people say don't have, you know, they tell you to eat low fat, and they're telling you to avoid saturated fats and dietary cholesterol, all these things that your body needs and wants and that are healthy for you. So if those things confuse you, we have a lot of shows on topics like cholesterol and where we talk about that and saturated fats, and you can learn about that in our 12-week fat loss course, stuff like that too, and in the books. But that's a big issue, is you may be eating what someone told you is healthy, but in a lot of cases, you're eating a lot of things that are restricting your ability to lose weight. The others are, how is your body processing them? But the other main thing that we haven't touched on is that, how can I work out almost every day for 3.5 hours, and why am I not seeing results? And a lot of people will be doing too much, and the body isn't that day off is huge. You know, you got to have days off where the body can recover, and you may not be allowing your body to recover properly.
Yeah, like if you're already tilted in like a catabolic state or a low blood pressure state, and you're just spending all your resources and breaking down your tissue over and over, it's not going to benefit you. It's going to like just deplete you and give you cravings and keep your metabolism kind of worn out and slow. So,
and it may alter your view as well. Like, you may be an electrolyte deficient person with low blood pressure, and you're working out, you know, every day, and but then it causes you to binge, and you have like a carton of ice cream. But in your mind, you're like, well, I did an extra 45 minutes on the treadmill today, so that doesn't really count, and that's not a big deal, when there's a lot of other things it does beyond just its caloric value that you may be looking at as the most important factor, when in fact that's one of the least important factors.
Right.
All right. Aaron, everyone is different, and I think based on what I've read that there's no one explanation. Some people tend to lose fat in all the places they don't need to first, and where they really want to last. Also, if you're packing on muscle at more or less the same rate you're losing fat, then the scale will lie to you. Unless you are having fluid retention issues, you will see results over the long haul, provided you are operating at a safe caloric deficit on a daily basis.
So Aaron says some good things in there, and it sounds like maybe his wife's breast shrank too much when she lost
weight. Yeah, why the boobs always the first to go?
Always the first to go. And women hate that so much. But, and of course there is no one answer, which he's really right about. And we talked about that at the beginning, but, it's really not about a caloric deficit. It's a fiction that, you know, a lot of our movie that's coming out in 2015 talks about this fiction that is the calorie and
that guy with the plane's not going to be happy.
So it's just not, because a different people process foods differently. So there's a lot of things that go on with that food once it goes in your body. It's not a matter of this food has this caloric value associated with it, so in the body, this is how it works. I mean, there's hormones, there's how you're digesting it, there's what can your body do with it. It's too much to explain in this show, but you have to get away.
Have a show just on calories. That would be a great show, I think.
All right,
done. The myths about calories.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah,
make a note of that. You got to get away from looking at calories, especially if you're hitting what you feel is a plateau, because that's half of the reason right there, is because you're looking at the wrong stuff.
Yeah. And like what he said about the safe caloric deficit thing is just not true. Like they did these really long-term clinical studies with thousands of participants where this, like, the control group ate the same and other group reduced their caloric load by like 20% and another group increased their caloric load by 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that they would have gained like some ridiculous amount, like 50 pounds over like the 2 years, or lost 50 pounds, but they didn't, because your metabolism adjusts and you start to like burn different amounts of energy depending on what's available. So you're either just more active or less active. So it's not simple, straightforward math like that. Your body is way more complex than that.
Right, and it's even if you're only eating real food, it's still not just about a caloric value. There's a lot more to it. So if you're eating in a manner where you're trying to create this deficit, you may also need to listen to our depression episode and our cravings episode.
Yeah.
Because you may be dealing with those issues if you're already low on nutrients due to digestive issues that restrict your ability to absorb nutrients, and you're trying to eat less now, it can cause a lot of problems.
And another thing with like where people are losing fat, I don't know if we've talked about this much, but that has a lot to do with hormone imbalances. So when you look at like bodybuilders that take anabolic steroids and they don't take estrogen blockers, they'll start to get man boobs because they've super elevated their estrogen levels. And so that tells the body store fat around your chest.
Right.
So, and there was this whole system this one trainer did with me once. There was this caliper measurements in like 10 different spots in the body. And they would correlate that with hormone level imbalances that I guess had been built up over some body of knowledge with clinical cross references. But you'd want to look at, you can, that's another factor to look at, like, oh, are you taking birth control and super elevating your estrogen, or have mm-hmm. you been on steroid creams for different things, or whatever?
Birth control, we forgot to list that one at the beginning of the show.
That's another factor. But a lot of times, like, people's hormones are off because of more important base metabolic issues, like, if you're not digesting food well, if you have blood sugar handling issues, like, your cortisol levels can be all over the place, or because of the imbalance of lack of, like, collagen and gelatin in our diet, we can have different, like, sex hormones be way off, and there's a lot of factors that interplay with our hormone levels, but it's more important usually to look at what's off in your base chemistry, and your hormones will usually follow suit, unless if you're taking something like a drug or a medication or some powerful thing that's pushing your hormones powerfully into an imbalance.
And birth control, not just birth control, but all kinds of prescription drugs can play a factor just because of the liver and so maybe some other things, you know.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Kenna from sitting right here in California. That's me. I'm an expert on this subject, unfortunately. Plateaus are evil. I've been on one for over 6 months now. I'm down 92 pounds and it's not budging. What God do I pray to make it move?
All the gods, old and new. So one thing to look into, and Ken and I have talked about this a lot of times.
And thought about it.
And thought about it. I thought you said thought about it. And thought about it. Yeah, so let's say that hypothetically someone looked at this topic yesterday and had a full conniption breakdown. Just hypothetically, let's say that.
Hypothetically, yeah, like a cousin or something.
Just somebody. But one thing to look at, and Ken is a perfect example of this issue, is when we look at the diets that do cheat days, or they'll do, you know, eat anything you want day kind of situation, or crazy amounts of carbs or sugars type things, is that there's a lot of science that shows reasons why this would benefit weight loss in the long run. There's a lot of hormonal switches that can go on that that could make insulin more effective and this and that. There's a lot of things that go on. The problem is that they don't work if someone is hormonally dysregulated or metabolically challenged or has any type of insulin resistance whatsoever. And it can cause problems, especially at a toxicity level. So here's what we want to look at. When someone's very overweight, when Kenna came around, she had some extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was extra stuff.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, there's still extra stuff. But there's a lot more than there is now.
So when a person is in that state, their body is almost always dealing with toxicity, and the body has found that it operates well by taking a lot of the toxicity and just storing it in fat cell. It becomes good at that. So that's the way that the person can be healthy, they can function correctly, is by just storing junk in fat cells. So what happens when they start correcting things and weight comes off fast, and kind of lost a lot of weight initially, is that the body's saying, oh, the coast is clear. I can go back into those fat cells where I tucked that junk away in the emergency state that I was in, and now I can take it out. It's kind of like when your mother-in-law calls and says she's stopping by. Not that I have a mother-in-law. I'm just imagining what that would be like. You know, you shove everything in the closet, but it's not because that's where you want that to be from now on. You know,
all
that
your sex toys.
You shove the sex swing in the closet knowing that you're going to come back later after she leaves and pull it out. And that's what the body does, as it's storing toxic things in the closet or in fat cells. The thought is, I'm going to pull it out when the coast is clear, but the way a lot of people eat and do things, the coast is never clear. And so a lot of sex toys start to accumulate in the closet. But once someone turns things around and the body can start going in and saying, oh, I can pull this junk out of these fat cells, it puts it back in the bloodstream so that it can be filtered out through the liver and removed, because the burden is less, so the body can go through those normal channels that it's intended to do. So then the person starts to lose weight. These toxins are filtering through the bloodstream, through the liver, they're going into the bile, they're being removed from the body. It's all great. But what happens when that person eats a chili corn dog that it used to, that has all these chemicals in it, all of these sugars and fats that can't be processed correctly, all these things that spike insulin and put the whole body into a burden. Now what's going on is all these toxins that were being removed from the fat cells that are in the bloodstream being removed now get multiplied by all the ones that are coming into the body. And all of a sudden you have this huge pool of way too much stuff for the body to deal with. And so the body's like, holy crap, reverse the engines. Let's go back to what worked before and shove all this stuff in the fat cells. And the person can gain weight back even with just that single episode. Because the way that life should work is that we should be able to get away with having some of anything. You know, a person should be able to indulge here and there, not have a problem, even once a week, have a day where they eat stuff that's wrong. And for a lot of people, that will work perfectly and can even help in a lot of ways. But for this person that's overly toxic or has these hormonal dysregulations and other issues that are restricting the body to work correctly, it flat out doesn't. I mean, I know you want it to work. I know that it's fair to work, you know, and I know that people all the time are like, well, my friend does that and it's fine. But what you're doing is you're trying to argue with science and you're creating frustrations and you're creating these things. Well, woe is me. It doesn't work for me and I'm just stuck here. And so think about what happens when you start to get frustrated and think about, well, why can't I reach my goal? And maybe I'm stuck this way. And if you start believing that, not only does it reduce your desire to continue to work, to do the work and to put in the effort, but I mean, what happens when you start believing something about yourself that's not true?
Well, I mean, everything, every action dictates that. I mean, it's your belief. It's your self-belief. So you create it, basically.
Yeah, whether it's through you're creating it in your life or it's reducing your desire to do it. Like Will was saying before, if I'm doing all this stuff, it's not working, why do it? Mm. You know what I mean? And that's what happens with a lot of people is they end up quitting and they just feel like they're stuck that way and there's nothing they can do about it. But what's going on is they're following.
I'm not necessarily thinking of quitting. I'm just pissed.
You're not. I mean, no, I don't, you're never going to quit. But we see so many people and we hear from so many all the time that are just, they just quit or they may lose a lot of weight and they'll get to a weight that they like, but, or they'll get to a weight that's better and they'll let life go in a little bit.
I thought you were still using me as the example.
No, not so much. But what we're trying to avoid is trying to avoid the situation where somebody uses advice like this that's working great for somebody else. Like even as drastic as me and Will can do a lot of things that don't work at all for me. And you know, there was a time where I was 2 points away from being diabetic. So when there's hormonal issues like that, even though you fix the issue, that doesn't mean that your body's not set up to go back there faster than somebody else would, or you may not, you know, I could still have work that I have to do to straighten things out. So even with someone who's not overweight, there's still a lot of drastic variation in how a body's going to react to these indulgences. So if you're a person that you find that, because you should be able to have some fun and have some indulgences on occasion, but if you're finding that you're stuck, then that's one of the first things to try is how do you do when you remove those things? You know, a lot of people, a lot of experts tell people to remove them completely because of the triggers that they set off. And we try to help people with physiology so that those triggers are not so strong. But that doesn't mean that they don't exist and that it can't be beneficial to eliminate stuff, because once a person reaches a goal weight and a lot of that toxicity is removed from the body, now it can be easier for that body to deal with things that come in. So it doesn't mean you can never have apple pie again, but if you're a person that reacts much stronger than another person, you have to understand that scientifically so that when you do that, you understand the reaction it's going to have. And so that way you can be okay with it. You know, that I decided to have fun.
I've gained 2 pounds. I know I'm going to gain 2 pounds. I always gain 2 pounds. I'll get it off in a week, week and a half.
Right. So that way, look, I'm managing my life. I'm managing my happiness. I'm doing things I want to do. But I don't have to be frustrated feeling like I'm in this plateau.
You may just have to plan things instead of just like unconsciously eating and say you plan your times. Like I have to plan my drinks.
Yeah.
I have to plan when I'm going to say tonight's the night I'm drinking.
Right.
You know, and set things up for that.
Right. And so there's a way to do that and to be happy and to still have success. But if you're viewing that as I've hit this plateau, it's going to create frustration and it's going to send you off track. So that's why it's important to understand those things, not because you're never allowed to do those things and you must be robotic and strict. It's because if you're a person where those things react that way to you, you need to understand why.
Yeah.
And you need to understand what the price is. And so it makes it easier to be okay with the reaction. Yeah, I ate some stuff, I gained some weight, but I understand why. It's not a big deal. I chose to do that. I'll keep moving forward and I still get to the goal.
Hmm. You still never told me who to pray to.
All the gods, old and new.
Okay.
All right. Did you have something to add to that one?
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of things. Like one, like I really like, you have this poster outside. I forget, Thomas Edison or something. It's like something like, when you tried
everything, you've exhausted all possibilities, yeah, remember this. You haven't.
Right. And there's always more. And I think, for me, when I think of the different health challenges that I've had, like, my horribly damaged ankle for a long time. I was basically crippled for like a couple of years, but I loved being active so much. I just like would work out at hours a day to like rehab it and research different things I could do. And now it's totally pain free and completely functional. But I think it was just like such like a ridiculous like obsession with being able to be active and fit that I just kept working at it and trying different things and different treatments. And I know like a lot of people will get frustrated because they try a diet and they try another one and they try another one and they take a med and, mm-hmm. and that doesn't work and their friends are all having success, whatever. But you still haven't tried everything. You know, you still haven't. I don't care.
Right.
What
and, you know. And what Will and I really focus on the most is that don't just try everything. Look at your physiology to get ideas of what's going to be the most effective for you.
Yeah.
And with all these things that we listed off, let's say that you're this person that I'm talking about that has a toxicity issue or, you know, any time that you have even a little indulgence, it's a big backfire that you
so
feel.
So you're basically calling me toxic.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And if you haven't seen the video of Kenna singing Britney Spears, it is awesome.
Oh,
that's going to come out later.
I forgot about that.
We'll finish that later, but it's going to be amazing. Anyways, so let's say that you're that person. That doesn't mean that you have to live that way. What if there's another issue that we'd listed before that's creating, that's restricting your ability to lose weight and you can correct that? Then maybe those things won't be such an issue for you either. So it doesn't mean that you're stuck in this pigeonhole of a situation. There's always other things that you can look at and do.
And like you're saying with your self-testing and stuff, if you have made some changes and you're not feeling them yet, your numbers still may be going gradually better, but you don't know that and you stop before you really see the payoff and that didn't work for me. So then you go on to something else when that might have been it. It might have just been taking longer to see the result.
Right.
Like a flower coming
up. So this
is,
you can see this is a really important topic and we're going to have to cut this show off without even getting through half of it. So we're going to have to finish this next week, and this is going to be a part one. So tune in next week if we didn't get to your question, because we're going to cover all of them, and then we're going to cover some other things that you can try to move past plateaus as well.
All right, so if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. Also, you can check out Will Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net. He's got a lot of cool stuff on there too. So, you know, check this out or read any of TC's books.
Bye-bye.
Bye.